For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky, who's back in 2 weeks. Have your say on 81. JMU is a national leader, and a veteran songwriter talks about his Battle of Charlottesville. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, August the 12th, 2019. The public is invited to the first meeting of the Interstate 81 Advisory Committee tomorrow in Lexington. The meeting will take place at 2 p.m. at the Hampton Inn. The committee is charged with making recommendations to the Commonwealth Transportation Board for improvements to Interstate 81. The committee must meet four times a year in rotating districts and report to the governor and General Assembly each December. Legislation approved earlier this year provides $2 billion to improve the interstate, which runs over 300 miles through Virginia. You'll find more information at va81corridor.org. Speaking of highways, estimating the cost of major transit projects can be difficult, and a new federal report points to Virginia as an example of how cost estimates can be dramatically wrong. Michael Pope reports.
A new Government Accountability Office report points to the Virginia Tide Light Rail Project in Norfolk as an example of how cost estimates can be wrong. More than $80 million wrong in this case. Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says a number of factors conspired to push up the cost of Virginia's first modern light rail project.
Norfolk is a city that is 400 years old in the parts where the Tide was being developed, and they ran into a lot of issues that they didn't expect to run into. And then there were changes made along the way.
Changes along the way, like the station design and the control system and the signaling, all of which were made after the cost estimate. Frank Shafroth at George Mason University says he remembers how the cost estimate to build the Washington Metro system were wrong.
No one was quite certain how deep the tunnel underneath the Potomac River was going to have to be, or how hard the rock would be in there, and what kind of drill bit you would need. You might need a diamond drill bit rather than a normal drill bit.
Diamonds are forever, but cost estimates come and go. And the GAO says the lesson of the Virginia Tide is that changing the station configuration after the cost estimate will probably lead to cost overruns. I'm Michael Pope.
A white supremacist group member sentenced to more than 3 years in prison for attacking protesters at the Unite the Right rally is asking to be free on bond while he appeals. Benjamin Daly is one of four Rise Above movement members who pleaded guilty to a riot conspiracy charge. He wants to be released to the custody of his parents in Oregon and monitored electronically while on home confinement. U.S. District Judge Norman Moon didn't rule on Friday's request by Daly's attorneys. Moon set an August 16th deadline for Daly and co-defendants Michael Misilis and Thomas Gillen to submit briefs on their bond requests. Prosecutors said the group members engaged in other racist and anti-Semitic activity before the August 2017 white nationalist rally in Charlottesville. James Madison University was recently named one of America's best institutions for higher education. The Daily News Record reports that the Princeton Review named JMU in its annual guide the best 385 colleges. It recognized the university's nursing program as the number one RN to BSN nursing program in Virginia. JMU ranked 8th for campus food. The university was also named in the best of Southeastern colleges and one of the nation's most environmentally responsible, or green, colleges. According to the review, only about 13% of America's 3,000 four-year colleges are profiled in the 2020 edition. And finally today, veteran Charlottesville songwriter Ellis Paul was on the road during the Unite the Right rally 2 years ago, which erupted in deadly violence. Coming back home to a city in mourning prompted him to pen The Battle of Charlottesville as a historical document of the incident. WMRA's Chris Boros spoke with Ellis Paul, who described why this song was something he had to write.
I felt like there was a certain amount of urgency because everybody, all my friends who are songwriters, know I live there. it would be like, if you don't tackle this, then we're going to do it for you. And I didn't want that to happen. With this one being so emotionally close to home, I just felt like I just needed to tell a story and create a document of what happened and to sort of last as a historical document and how it unfolded.
General Robert E. Lee is sitting on a stallion right in front of me. The town says they're gonna take the old statue down.
And you mentioned that you sort of tackled it like a journalist when you approached writing the song. Is that different for you from other songs you've written?
Well, I don't often do sort of these historical event kind of songs. And this one is like really talking about, here's the statue, the town wants to take it down. Then there's this rally that's been set up and then these white supremacists come to town and this is what happened day to day, hour to hour, and walk through the weekend. It sort of wrote itself in many ways.
So, white supremacists come snaking through the streets like something out of Genesis. I can't believe my eyes, neither side is gonna back down.
There's a great rhyme where you rhyme white supremacist with Genesis.
Well, I remember seeing the cameras kind of caught video in a sort of a figuresque of those torches winding their way through the streets, and it totally looked like a snake to me, or a serpent.
When the war you're fighting for is born out of something disgraceful, you ain't fighting honorably, generally.
I feel good about writing it. I'm still getting, every time I play it, someone comes up to me and says, you know, I want you to write from the other side. My perspective matters too. And a woman in Charlottesville even asked me to add a verse from the other side's perspective. And the song is done. That's my perspective on it. And at this point, I need to walk away. But you're welcome to write that one on your own and go play it in public and see how you do with it.
I can't imagine going up to a songwriter and saying, hey, can you add a verse for me?
Right. We are in a divided time right now, and I feel like I need to do my part in nudging culturally all of us to a better place, really. And that's kind of my job. And even if I can move a crowd by inches, I feel like I'm making some progress.
Life's blown out like a candle. The president must love a scandal. He wouldn't take a side, though people died in hell or higher, got mowed down. When the war you're fighting for is born out of something disgraceful, you ain't fighting honorably, generally.
You mentioned Heather Heyer in the song, the woman who was killed at the protest, and you know, you don't really pull any punches with that lyric, and I'm wondering if you struggled at all about that line and mentioning her name in the song right there with General Lee, who you reference in the chorus.
I did. This is a song that needs a heavy hand. It's got to say what happened in the way it happened. I talked to Heather's mother, and she suggested that I put a little disclaimer at the front and a trigger warning that anyone who might see the video should be warned before watching it, because I don't pull punches and I just state the way things unfolded. You know, something violent happened and I had to write it in the same way it happened. And so yes, I did weigh it, and that's a good question, Chris. And I appreciate it, but I felt like it still had to be said the way I wrote it.
For 150 years, we've come so far, but you haven't moved an inch. We will not flinch.
When someone hears the Battle of Charlottesville for the first time, what do you hope someone takes away from listening to it?
Well, I like to think of it as a bit of a historical document in the vein of Woody Guthrie, who just would, you know, write a song about what happened and let the listener witness it so that they feel like they're in some way like a witness to what happened on that day.
When the war you're fighting for is born out of something disgraceful, you ain't fighting honorably, generally.
Ellis Paul's song, The Battle of Charlottesville, is on his most recent record, The Storyteller's Secret. And the video is out now. We have details on that and a link at WMRA.org. Ellis Paul, thank you so much, man, for talking, and I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for putting the song on the air and me on the air, and I'll see you down the road somewhere.
For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.